that would be fine this morning. But maybe this verse is as familiar to you as it is to little Ethan, who's 6 years old and usually quotes it in almost every one of our services. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our Father, we thank You today for the Bible, the Word of God. We know that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and that it pierces to the very depths of our souls, because this book is a powerful book and a God-breathed book. It is unlike any other book that we'll ever pick up and read. And no matter what assaults, no matter what attacks are leveled against it by the world today, by intellectuals, by the media, by Hollywood, or whoever the enemy may be, whatever shape or form the enemy may take on any given day, we thank You, Lord, today that the Word of God stands sure and is as true and solid and dependable today as it was the day that You breathed it into being. So God, we pray today that by Your Holy Spirit's power, You will take these words, the wonderful words of life, and You will stamp them indelibly upon the walls of our souls. God, I pray that we will leave every single one of us, men, women, and children, will leave this church house different than we arrived this morning. I pray You would stir our hearts, stir us to the depths of our being, turn the spiritual lights on in our souls today. Cause us to see in reality what the truth of God is from Your Word. Lord, I pray You'd take this, the greatest promise, the most wonderful promise ever made, and speak it into our being today. And we'll thank You for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's also some great truth here. Not only the simple truth of God's love, if that can be termed a simple truth, but there's also a great truth here for fathers this morning. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Not only the only Son that He had at the time, but the only Son that He ever would have. I have a son. I have only one son. I cannot fathom, I cannot remotely imagine or comprehend what it would be like to give up my son for somebody that I love dearly. I consider your pastor to be one of my dearest friends. I have some very precious friends around the country. Brother Bob Martin's one of my dear friends. I can call him. I got his cell phone number. Amen. I can call him any place, any hour of the day or night. Of course, he won't answer except 9 to 5, but that's okay. I can call him anyway. But you know something? I can't imagine giving my son for someone that I love with all of my heart and with all of my mind and soul and being. I can't imagine doing that. But what about God, who gave His Son to not only those that would accept Him and believe upon Him and receive Him, but what about giving His Son for those that would spit upon Him and mock Him and ridicule Him and hate Him? Can you imagine such a thing as that? Not I. No, I can't get that. I can't process that. And you probably cannot either. But here's a great scripture in the Word of God. Only 25 words. And yet it contains a complete survey of the story of God's redemption. I believe with all of my heart it is the most wonderful promise ever made. Many would call it the greatest verse in the Bible, since I know that Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 is the inspired, infallible Word of God. I don't know that it's proper or correct for us to set one verse above and apart from the rest, but if we were to do that this morning, I'm certain that this verse would sure rank very high in the favorites around the room if we were to ask them. I love 1 Corinthians 15:58. It's my life's verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I get a lot out of that verse. Amen. It's inspired of the Holy Spirit. But we come this morning to a great, great and wonderful verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means any man, any woman, any child, doesn't matter who you are, where you've been or what you've done, whosoever, it's all encompassing, shall call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever, God sent His Son for whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now let's look carefully this morning, or as concisely as is possible in the short time that we have, at some things about the great, inexplicable love of God. First of all, let me press upon your heart this morning, if no one has lately, that God loves you. You say, but Brother Keffer, try as I might, I just can't seem to lose weight. And I look in the mirror and I don't love me very much. Or my hair is falling out. And join the club. I used to have a forehead. Now I have a forever head. Amen. I actually think it may be from sleeping too close to the head of the bed. I don't know if that's it or not. But where I want hair, I don't have any. And where I sure don't want it, I have more now than ever. But I tell you what, as unlovable as you may think you are, and as hard as it is for you to love you, I want you to know that God loves you. He surely does. You hear me this morning? You that are, how many middle children? Middle of three children. I'm the middle. Oh, I knew something about you, Ken. Okay, I get it now. Okay, that takes care of everything. I'm the middle of three boys. I have a brother. I've told you this so much. This could be our 30th visit. We were tabulating yesterday all the times we've come to Heritage. It may be the 30th visit we've made to this church across these years. I don't know. Does that make a difference? No, not at all. My older brother's a PhD. My baby brother was always the one, the grandmothers came along and pinched him on the cheek and said, "Isn't he cute?" And I wanted to kill him, you know. And I was the middle. Here was one who was brilliant. He was smart. Another one was good looking. I was neither. I'm glad that middle child thing doesn't leave any after effects. Amen. And maybe you're here today and you're languishing in that situation. I don't know. Or you're in someone's shadow some sibling's shadow and you don't feel loved by anybody in this world. Boy, I'll tell you what. It makes me proud as a peacock. I'll tell you. To be able to stand up before a group of people and say to you on the authority of God's holy word that God loves you today. He loves you with a love that you can't comprehend, no way, shape, form, fashion, possibility. You can't imagine how much He loves you, for He so loved you. What are the characteristics of that divine? Well, first of all, it is a divine love. It's God who loved the world. The only love that we know anything about, apart from the revelation contained in this verse, is human love. And that is no comparison, is it? Human love. Human love is always checkered. It's always got an asterisk after. It's always got a check mark because we're limited in our finiteness, ability to be able to love someone or something. We think we love unconditionally. And if it's not unconditional, it's not love anyway. But can we really do that? I'm not sure we can, but He can. He loved us so much. He not only proved it at the cross, but He proves it every single day of our existence. It's divine love. God is love, the Bible says over in 1 John 4:8 and verse 16. And His love is the greatest love in all the world. Perhaps when we know Him, our ability to be able to love somebody else increases. Amen? No, it's made possible, period. Otherwise, I'm not sure what we have is love. I met Linda when I was 9 and she was 8. I had known the Lord about 2 years. I got saved when I was 7 years old in a little basement church in Louisville, Ohio, that my mom helped pray down. I could just imagine her prayers back in the bedroom when us three boys couldn't hear her. "Oh God, if you don't do something, there's no hope for me." And so the Gideon Baptist Church started up. You could almost see it across the field from our house in the basement of Fred Kraft's house. And one night he preached all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And I said, I have no problem with that whatsoever. I know I'm probably the chief sinner right alongside the Apostle Paul who said that. And then he said something that I didn't, it started in the first part of the process being difficult to assimilate and process. He said, God loves you. And I said, I'm not sure I accept or receive that like I should. I'm the middle kid. I know my brother's loved. I'm sure my other brother is loved, but I'm not sure that I'm loved. But he kept saying it, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And after a while, I kind of liked the sound of that, don't you? God loves you. And you know what? I walked out between the metal folding chairs. I knelt at a little makeshift altar of prayer. I cried out to Jesus and asked Him to do for me what I could not do for myself. And He saved me that day. And here I am 2 years later. And I'm still saved. Amen. And if I see you 100 million years from this morning, I'll still be saved. Glory to God. So it's divine, it's unspeakable. We not only read that God loved the world, but that He so loved. He so loved the world. That little two-letter word, S-O, S-O, so loved, Brother Bob, shows the intensity of God's love, doesn't it? The intensity of His love. You know, it's one thing to flippantly and just in passing say, I love you. It's another thing for that thing to get way down deep, as the old fella said, in the depths of your guzzle. Down deep in the depths of your soul to where it's an itch you can't scratch. To where it's something going on down there that you can't explain any other way except that I so love you. And God said He so loved the world that He sent Jesus to the cross. It's eternal love. We read that that God so loved the world. Loved. L-O-V-E-D. Loved. When did His love begin? God's love had no beginning. Because God Himself had no beginning. It's always been and it'll always be the love of God. How can we possibly comprehend what it means? It's universal love. For God so loved the world. Thank God for a church like this one that's mission-minded, indicated by these pictures around this room, indicated by the scores of missionaries that are helped to be sent around the world to take the gospel, which is a command of God to go into all the world and preach the gospel, because those people that don't look exactly like you look, or those people that don't look exactly like I look, or behave in the manner that we think they ought to behave, God loved them ever just as much as He loves you and I. His Son suffered and bled and died in their place just like He did yours and mine. It's universal and it's unmerited. When we remind ourselves that God loves the world, we at once realize how unmerited His love is, for there's nothing lovely in any one of us to have sent Him to the cross. Not one thing. He didn't favor you because of your beautiful features. He didn't favor me because of my cleverness. He didn't favor any one of us because of any one particular attribute. He knew how depraved and rotten and filthy and hell deserving we were, and yet He loved us. Can you imagine it? No. But He did. And He does. He's going to love you whether you love Him or not. He's going to love you even if you blaspheme His name. He's going to love you as He did those at the cross when they were spitting upon Him, when they were mocking Him. Hey, Jesus, come down from the cross. He's going to love you as He did them when they platted the crown of thorns upon His brow, when they thrust the spear through His side. He loves you this morning. What about it? The great characteristics of God's love, then the manifestation of His love. How did God's love show itself? How do we know He loves us? His love for us is declared in the words, He gave His only begotten Son. Notice this about it real quick, and I don't want to take up too much time. I have to drive 100 miles for church tonight, so we'll be quick. Number one, it was practical. Practical love. You read that God gave. He gave. Thank God for a great offering last Sunday at Heritage Baptist Church to get these coolers up here. Amen? You know, you say, well, that's a luxury. It's not a luxury. You keep someone comfortable and they'll pay attention when you're preaching. Amen? You get them dozing off because they're half asleep because they're too warm and they ate too much breakfast. It's hard to keep their attention. Amen? Amen? That's a Baptist amen. See where that slash mark is? How many Baptists here today that are backslidden? I get you every time. 30 years, 30 visits. Someone said, someone asked me in the lobby this morning, do you have your smile on a stick? Well, yes and no. Yes, I have the smile and I have the stick, but the smile is not on the stick. Because you see, I now have grandchildren. Oh, look, Poppy's got a smile in his Bible. Thank God for practical love that expresses itself by giving. Amen? Y'all gave last Sunday because you love. You gave because you love. My wife is the most unselfish person I know on the face of the earth. I mean, the last of anything, she doesn't take it. She gives it away. Everything. In every measure in our family, she gives it away. She is the most unselfish person. God unselfishly gave His Son in your place and my place. It was a practical expression of His love. It was unique. God's gift was that of His only begotten. Nobody else could give what God gave. But He gave His only, Brother Nakora, He gave His only begotten Son. In your place and in my place. It was unique. It was sacrificial. God not only sent His Son, but we're told He sent His only Son. If God had had 10 sons and He'd sent one to be our Savior, that would have been a sacrificial gift. But He had only one Son. And He did what the little boy did when he brought the loaves and the fishes, when he brought his lunch. Somebody said he brought his lunch. I submit to you this morning, that little boy brought all that he had and gave it to Jesus. And the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall God give to you. I tell you, you can't outgive God. He already trumped us, didn't He? When He gave Jesus. What about the purpose of God's love? Very quickly, and I'll be done. What was God's great objective in sending His Son into the world? Why? What's the why? Paul indicated about Eli being delivered from the terrible twos. He turned three. His favorite word is why. So I trick him, and I look at him and say, why? And he'll look back and say, why you say that, Poppy? You say, see there? And he'll say, why? Well, did you know? Why? What about why? What could be? Why? So before he gets it out of his mouth, you just say it first. You know, why? Why you say that? Why you say it? I don't know. It's fun to have a conversation with a three-year-old every now and then. It'll stimulate your intellectual processes. The purpose of God's love. Let me close with this. First of all, the breadth of the purpose. It's right there in that word, whosoever. Don't read this verse too fast. Don't say it too fast. Don't let the words just go by. Say them one at a time. For God. For God. So loved the world that He gave. His only begotten Son, that whosoever. You see what that word wipes out, what that word does for you is, it says don't ever make any excuse. Don't ever say it can't mean me because. You don't know what I've done, Brother Gary. You don't know where I've been. You don't know where I came from. You see, whosoever makes that not matter. I said, whosoever makes none of that matter. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. God said, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Thank God, because of whosoever, you don't ever have to die. Not an eternal death. Mr. Moody said, one day you'll read in the paper, Mr. Moody has died. He said, don't believe it. It'll just mean that I've graduated. I've gone to a better place. I don't know about you, I'm glad there's a better place. Heaven is my home because of whosoever. You see, it didn't matter that my brother had the PhD or that my other brother was the good-looking one. God has a sense of humor. He can take the least of the least and make the most out of it. The blessedness of the purpose should not perish, but have everlasting. Wait, have, not going to get it subsequently. I have everlasting life right now, right now, right now, because of whosoever. The limitation of the purpose. God's offer, understand this, please, just two more minutes, I'll be done. God's offer of salvation is unlimited on His side. But on man's side, we limit it, don't we? Unless we believe, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You see, it's incumbent upon human beings to say, God, I'm sorry. I acknowledge your love. I receive what you have done for me. He doesn't make you or I a robot or a puppet. He doesn't force you, and He will not force you into anything. You're a free moral agent. You have a right of choice. It's up to you. Pilate said, what will you do then with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? What about this? What about it? You know, when my wife says, I love you, I get like the butter down south if you leave it out on the counter. Whatever you want. Whatever I have. We respond to love, don't we? It makes us melt. God loves you today. He longs to do good things for you. Will you say yes? Will you say yes? That's where it comes down to. What about it? What about it? Let's stand with our heads bowed. Close our eyes. Let's ponder it for a minute. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Dad, let me say something to you. Without God in your life, it's pretty difficult to love those kids like they need loved. It's pretty difficult to love their mama like she needs loved. What about today? Are you going to continue to say, I can go it alone? Or are you ready to say yes to God and let Him in your life? Let Him become the master and the captain. I saw a bumper sticker not long ago that said that God is my, how's that go? God is my co-pilot. God's the pilot, or He's nothing. He's either all or nothing. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please, and no one looking, and believers bathing this invitation in prayer this morning. How many can lift your hand and say, Brother Keffer, I'm a child of the King. I have a no-so Bible salvation. If I died where I stand right now, I'd go to heaven to be with Jesus. Not hope so, maybe so, or wait and see. I know Jesus is my Savior. Put it up real high as a testimony to His saving grace. God bless you. Thank you. You may take them down. That was the overwhelming majority, but maybe you couldn't raise your hand just then. And maybe you couldn't testify to what God's done, that He's real in your life. Maybe you can't remember a place, a day, a time in your life when your knee went down and you repented of your sin and you invited Jesus into your heart. Right where you stand this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking, and I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in this world. I wouldn't want you to embarrass me, and I wouldn't embarrass you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed and nobody looking around, how many will lift up your hand and say, "Preacher, I need prayer this morning. I need to be saved. I don't want to die lost." Put your hand up real high. Hold it for just a moment. God bless. 1, 2, 3, 4. How many others this morning? Slip it up real high. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray that I won't die lost. Pray that I'll get saved before it's too late. I'll tell you what, the world is in a dire circumstance. America is in desperate straits. You look around, not only economically, but socially, politically, morally, spiritually, any way you want to measure things today. We're in a mess. And the reason is we've thumbed our nose at God. And we've said, no, we've got a better way. You don't realize this, God. We're very sharp. We're very intelligent. We've got this figured out. Unfortunately, it's been very proven right before our eyes that taking God out of the equation simply will not work. Anybody else, slip up your hand and say, "I don't want to die lost. I don't want to go another day without God in my life. I need prayer." Put it up real high. Hold it for a moment. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. That's half a dozen people in this audience. Anybody else? Put it up real high. Hold it for a second. Take it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. 8 folks. Anybody else? God bless you. While our heads remain bowed and our eyes closed and nobody looks, we need for folks who know how to take their Bible and open them and pray with folks who need help at the altar. We need you to come right now to this to the front, right down here by the pews. Come on right now. And we need you that lifted your hand to come right now real quickly. Here are folks waiting, ready, willing, and able to help you from the Scripture to show you exactly what you need. So come on right now. You lifted your hand. You meant business with God. Will you slip out right now and come? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. That's right. Come on. God spoke to your heart. It's obvious. There are no accidents with God, and no accident you heard the message this morning. No accident that you're in the church house today. Yes, yes, yes. You that lifted your hand, 6, 7, 8 folks, come on, you're among friends and you're where folks love you and are praying for you right now. Yes, that's right. Here's another dear lady. How many others? Come on. You lifted your hand. Somebody may have already spoken to you prior to this service about your soul and about the need in your life. God's speaking to your heart. Will you leave your seat right now? Jesus walked all the way to a rugged cross for you. Won't you walk just these few steps to this altar this morning and let a friend take the Bible and pray with you this morning and show you the way of salvation, will you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, "I don't know what somebody might think. I wouldn't care what anybody thought if my eternal soul was hanging in the balance. Would you just let God have His way?" Come on, right now. He's speaking to your heart. We're going to lift our eyes, lift our heads now, and we're going to sing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay." And while the song is being sung, this is your opportunity. Please, don't turn your back and walk out of this service this morning without letting God have His way in your life. This message was for you this morning. The message of the Scripture is for you today. Let God have His way while Paul leads and we sing, "Have Thine Own Way." Come on, right now. God's speaking to your heart. Those tears are for a reason. Let the Lord do a great and mighty thing in your life right now.